Man, just
it's because of what you were talking about earlier. His love is so awesome. We just, it's amazing.
So his love's awesome. He's totally good, right?
Yeah.
It's all he is. It's all he can be. And in that scripture I read that Paul's writing to the church, he said, the yes of your need is in him.
Yeah.
Right? What they decided was, and we're just going to agree with the yes that's in him.
Right.
Do you hear the difference? It's not, all you're doing is agreeing with his love.
Right.
All you're doing is agreeing with heaven's resource.
Right.
And so I was just thinking here just for a moment. It's like, what's the danger of yes, but? In other words, yeah, he's good, but.
No.
Oh, that's right. For me, that has been the greatest stopping point.
Yeah.
So when you have doubt, right? When you have doubt, it brings fear, right? And
but
so when you have a need.
It negates everything that you're praying for.
Right? Because here's what's going to happen. I'm going to step into agreement with my yes that's in him, what the kingdom of God has provided me, or I'm going to step in the other kingdom, which is driven by fear, right? Do you see it? I'm going to agree with
one or the other.
One or the other.
Right, right, right.
So when I accept a yes, but, I just created an opportunity to doubt. I've left the door in for fear, right? When I make a suggestion, I know you say he's good, but, and we create an argument that says sometimes he has to do some bad things or whatever, you've opened up the door to say, I'm stepping into this other camp, this other place. And,
you open the door that says, I don't trust you.
Now, right. So now you're out in the city today, you're out buying your coffee at Starbucks, and you see somebody sick or somebody that's in need. What we've just done is we've opened up a debate within ourselves that says, well, I could do this or I could do this. God might want me or might not. Mm-hmm. By doing that, we've just removed ourselves from having any impact on this person's life.
Right.
Because we just started the debate. Now everything becomes a debate. Every moment for God to love, every moment for God to love through you, every moment of the supernatural miracle release of heaven, you've just created a space in your mind that says, well, maybe not today. Well, maybe he won't. Or, do you see it? That's why Paul says, we're just going to make this resolution. He's just good. And we're going to agree with the goodness of God.
Yeah.
Because I can't afford anything else in my mind that opens the door for the enemy.
Right.
Who brings in fear.
Right.
Right? Now, I will tell you, Darla and I had this conversation this week. I don't have the answers for certain parts of Scripture that it looks like there's, if you don't do this, God's not going to do something. It looks like it questions goodness, maybe. There's some places, and I won't go through them today, but I don't have the answers for everything in Scripture that looks mysterious. But I just want to resolve. He's good. I'm going to trust in his goodness.
Right.
I'm going to respond out of his goodness and trust Holy Spirit for those things I don't understand.
Right.
And right. I was thinking this week about the word repentance. Right? Because we heard John the Baptist preached it, and then Jesus, you know, that right after he stepped out of the wilderness, it says that right after he comes out of the wilderness, his message was then, repent for kingdom of God is at hand. Now, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I grew up with this image in my mind that when I heard that, I saw some kind of
or else?
This person on a street corner with a sign that said, repent.
That was his brother.
Or
seriously,
and then there was an or else,
right?
You're going repent or you're going to hell.
Yep.
Repent or you'll be God will curse you. Repent or right?
Turn or burn.
Turn or burn.
True.
Right. So I would like to As we learn to, we're going to correct some things today. Okay? Because Jesus' message was repent. No doubt about it. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Right? Do you know that the word repent, what it means?
Yeah, repent.
Repent.
In first, it means regret and apologize for.
In the scripture, repent means to change your mind. You know that?
Really?
To change your mind. That's it. Literally, changing your mind. The Greek word is metanoia. It literally means to change what you're agreeing with.
Right.
Repentance simply means to change what you're agreeing with. So, if my model has been, I've been agreeing with doubt, I've been agreeing with fear, I've been agreeing with loss, I've been agreeing with this other thing that says, well, if bad's going to happen, God says, hey, I've been wanting to wake you up to my love. I've been wanting for you to see how magnificently I love you and how good I am. God says, repent. I want you to change what you're agreeing with. You've been believing this. I need you to see this. And when you see this, right, it's when we agree with the yes of heaven, right, then what is heaven doing? What's heaven doing? Heaven's releasing miracles. Mm-hmm. Heaven's loving. Yeah. Heaven's providing. Heaven's creating the increase of finances. Heaven's healing Michael's ankle, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that's why I said the kingdom of heaven is being released,
right?
And then we're seeing this, we're seeing eyes, the blind eyes open, we're seeing deaf ears healed, the lame are walking, depression is lifting. God says, look, change what you're agreeing with. Agree with the goodness of God.
And then
you'll
start seeing it.
Right? Now, so it's interesting. So when Paul's writing in the letter to the Romans, right, who are traditionally of a mindset of Greek thought, right, and apologetics kind of study, right, when he's writing to them, he actually makes this statement in Romans 2. He says that, if you would know this, he says, do you despise the riches of his goodness, the forbearance and long sufferings, and knowing this, that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? In other words, when you see, it's his goodness, when you wake up to his love, it leads you to changing your mind and agreeing with who he is. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance, right? We wake up, oh my gosh, he loves me. Here's where our model's been broken. God will only love me when I repent. We've said that. If I repent and change, I've been a dork, I've been a jerk, I have made serious mistakes. God says, until you repent, and I'm sorry, God, I did all it, right? I can't love you. God says, before you were born, I loved you.
Right.
Before you made any mistakes in your life, I loved you. In fact, Scripture says, I forgave you.
Right?
So, we talked, I think last week, maybe it's a couple weeks before, have you ever thought about the thief on the cross? Right? The thief on the cross. What moment did he have? Forgive me, I'm a sinner, God, and clean me up because, I want to get baptized, I want to say the prayer. No, what did he have? A revelation. Oh my gosh.
He changed his mind.
You're good. The thief on the cross is like, what did you do? You're hanging. I know what I did.
Right.
You're good. I saw what you did. We saw your miracles. The crowds witnessed your goodness. The thief just says, oh my goodness, you're good. Right? And that's when Jesus says, right, and you'll be in heaven with me today. Right? So, two stories. I just want to read out of Scripture. It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. It's this waking up to how loved you are, right? We're changing our model. Verse 1 is in Luke 5, okay? So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats that were standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. So he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked them to put out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the multitudes from the boat, right? So here's the scene. Body of water, a spare boat, Jesus gets into it. And I actually heard this week, I didn't know this, that the reason is, that, you know, that when you speak, the water actually resonates and creates almost like a microphone. So Jesus knows the acoustics and how this all works, actually gets out there so the crowd can hear him teach, right? So Jesus gets in a boat and he goes out onto the lake, right? Luke chapter 5. So, and he sat down, taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night long and we've caught nothing. We're tired. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. Right? So the fishermen who've worked all night, nothing. All of a sudden, massive resource,
right.
Massive provision, right? So much so, it's like it's overwhelming them. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell down at his knees, and he said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. What did Simon do? He repented.
I changed my mind. You really are good.
You really are good, right? What shocked Simon? Was it, Simon, you have sin in your life. Simon, you're a failure. Simon, you've screwed up. God's, right? What happened with Simon?
He saw God.
Simon woke up to this love of God like he'd never, like, it's like, I've never seen this before. And all of a sudden, it's like, it's true. You are good. And he's like, I'm agreeing with this. What did I tell you sin was? Sin was the fruit of agreeing with this fear. When I agree with fear, when I come and I step into doubt and this thing that's just tormenting, right? It's quid pro quo. It's me against you. I must take from you to survive, right? It's all about me here. The fruit of that thinking is sin. That's all it is.
Right.
The fruit of thinking that I'm not connected to him. I'm not loved by him. That's what sin is. So Simon says, oh God, I don't want to be this anymore. I'm agreeing with you. It says the reason he said that, because he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And it's at that point Jesus says, don't be afraid of this. In fact, come with me. And let's be catchers of men. He's telling him, let's go wake up the others too.
Right, right, right.
That they would see, that they would have this revelation of his goodness. Mm-hmm. Want to see another example? Mm-hmm. Remember the story of Zacchaeus?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you know the story of Zacchaeus?
Okay.
Zacchaeus is a tax collector, okay? He's a tax collector. Here's how it worked back in those times. The government said, okay, D, you're the person, go. They owe taxes to the government, and oh, by the way, and whatever else you can get from them, keep. So the tax collector comes and says, pay up or else. So now I've got the weight of the government behind me, pay up or else, right? And they were swindlers. They were cheats. They manipulated people. Can you see it? Fear.
Right.
Right? Think they were loved by the city? Ha! Hated by the city. Like, that man's a swindler. He took from me. And it's almost like, and I can do nothing about it. It's like he's got the stamp of the government. I can do nothing about it. Okay? That's Zacchaeus. Got it? Luke chapter 19. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich.
Surprise.
Ha 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 ha. He's rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was. But he couldn't because of the crowd. And the Bible says, and he was of short stature. So can you see, it's like Jesus coming down the street, and the crowds are all gathered around, right? And so masses of people, and here's a short guy, and he can't get to Jesus. First off, what's in Zacchaeus that wants to get to Jesus? I think he's heard the stories. He knows about the man.
It's the curiosity.
He's heard the miracles. Do you know that there's something inside of all of us that was created to connect with him? That's why when you speak about Jesus, when you talk about his love, when you offer to pray for the sick, and you know, like Adolf says, hey, when I pray for you, God's going to heal you, right? There's that thing inside of people. The reason that most people don't say no to your prayer is because they want it to be true.
Right, right.
They want to know that they're loved. They want to know that they're accepted, right? We were created in his image. The Bible says we kind of like forgot who we were.
Right.
But we were made to resonate with him, to connect with him, to be loved by him, right? Zacchaeus has this thing. It's like, I've got to go connect with him. Right? All right, here's where we're at. He couldn't get to him because of the crowd, and he was short. So he ran ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. Right? So he climbs up in a tree, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place where he was, he looked up and saw him. And he said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. I'm going to stay at your house. The despised man in the city, the creep, the jerk, the swindler, the con man, Jesus goes, Zacchaeus, get down here. I'm going to hang out at your house. Scripture says, it says right here, that Zacchaeus made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. It's, can you see it? That thing inside of Zacchaeus that wants to connect with him. He's the miracle lover. He's the miracle worker. It's like he's like, he just said he wants to hang out with me. Right? It says he received him joyfully. But when the crowd saw it, they all complained.
Wait a minute.
Whoa! Wait a second! That's the con man! It says the crowd said, he's going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anybody from false accusation, I restore fourfold. What did Zacchaeus just do?
Right.
He repented.
He changed his mind.
Did he? God didn't say, Zacchaeus, you swindler.
Right.
Admit it right now. Stop what you're doing. Stop right now. Repent right now. Change your ways. God just said, dude, you're awesome. I'm going to go hang out with you. The crowd, what? Like he just says, like, God, I'll give it all back.
Right.
It's like, think about it. The goodness of God. It's the goodness of God. It's the kindness of God,
right.
That it's the love of God that leads a man to change his mind. It's not the sign on the corner that says turn or burn,
right?
We're learning. It's like we've had this thought of that it's a penal. He's judging you, right? I've got a list of your badness, and you need to clean up this before you go to the great judge, or he's going to send you to hell. God has never said that in Scripture. If you put on a set of glasses, if you live in this world of fear,
right.
If you're driven by fear and doubt, if you're driven by anger and self-justification, if you put that set of glasses on and open up your Bible, you'll see a God who's angry and he's gonna crush you if you don't do this or that. Jesus said, wake up to my goodness. Put on these glasses, right? And then all of a sudden you go, oh, you are good. I just want to insert into your thinking this week the thought of repentance, right? We're helping people to wake up to the goodness of God, mm-hmm. to the love of God, repent that they would change their mind. It's the Holy Spirit's job. He reveals that. Our assignment? Mm-hmm. What's our assignment? Love. Mm-hmm. Our assignment is to be lovers, releasers of the kingdom, releasers of his goodness, right? Why? Because that's what they're seeing. That's what's waking them up
to who
he is. That's why he loves to heal the sick and the lame. That's why he loves to do miracles, right? He does not qualify his miracles with fix yourself and then I'll heal you.
Right.
He just says, I love you. I love you. I love you, right? He tells us, right, there's a couple things that we can get confused about if we think it's about, you know, fixing up a penalty, right? If we think repentance is about, one is we think repentance is about turning from sin, right? And two, that we think, because I need that for God to forgive me, right? Stop doing this, because if you don't, God won't forgive you,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not what Scripture says, right?
Right.
It says in Him, Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace, right? He forgave us, there were multiple Scriptures, He forgave us before you were ever born. Jesus just came to reveal, I forgive you, I love you, right? And he's held nothing back, by the way, because it also says in Ephesians 1, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing. Right? Mm-hmm. So if we have every spiritual blessing in Christ, what's left outside of him? He tells us every spiritual blessing we have in Christ. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Through Scripture, when Jesus says, repent, the kingdom of God is here, he's saying, change your mind and believe in this thing called good news. By the way, gospel, when Jesus says, preach the gospel, the word gospel is just good news.
Right.
The preaching of the gospel isn't You're a sinner, you stink, you're going to go to hell. The gospel is the goodness of God.
Right.
The message of Jesus was the goodness of the Father, right? He was literally saying, change your unbelieving mind about who I am and believe in the goodness of the kingdom and stand on that. That's really it. And Paul said it, and I'll stop with this, right? To those in Damascus, Acts 26, which is when he's closing his letter to the church. For those in Damascus, and to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent, change their mind, believe in God, turn to God, and then prove their repentance by their deeds. What's he saying? Change your mind. Now go show them the goodness of God. Go live powerfully. Go pray for the sick. Go show them what goodness. Go put goodness on display. Amen?
Yeah.
There's a little bit more to that. Instead of just changing your mind and believing the gospel, it's changing your mind that really the good news is that Jesus came to make us sons.
Yeah.
And so it's not just a matter of changing our minds. It's also a matter of to think like he does.
It's from something to something.
There you go. There you go.
To
right.
All
and
of
so
this
Paul
saying.
Here, he's talking to the Corinthians, and he's talking about wisdom, natural wisdom, and the spirit and the wisdom of the Lord. And he's telling him, look, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Yeah. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. In when he's saying spiritual, it's just us having a relationship with him, okay? Yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? And here's the thing where it says that we think like him, but we have the mind of Christ.
Right.
We have the mind of Christ. So it's not just a matter of thinking different, but thinking like him.
So, mind of man, mind of Christ.
Right.
Repentance is stepping out of this mindset into his mindset.
Right.
Like when we talked about the result of our mindset, of this self-centered one, is sin. And we said it last week, right? You told me, right? Sin is missing the mark. Right, Francois?
To me, it's oops.
Oops. Yeah.
Yes. And I meant well, but oops.
That's all it is. To miss the mark. To, like, think of it like shooting at a target. Oops. I missed. Right? It's like, I agreed with the substance of agreeing with the wrong thing. Oops.
Oops, I stepped into the wrong thing. I should be stepping into him.
I should be stepping into him.
So good.
Right.
Amen.
Father, we say
thank you.
Thank you that you're showing us your goodness. So this week, we pray, Holy Spirit, reveal the goodness of God like never before. I pray for a testimony of your strength and your power. God, we pray for the release of miracles this week. God, we pray for boldness to pray for the miracle this week. So to the sick, we say, be made well. Right? To the lame, we say, walk this week. To the depressed and discouraged, we speak hope in Jesus' name. Right? We preach salvation, the rescue of the hopeless. Amen.
Amen.